Hello, this is Frankly Speaking, an informational exchange of problems and issues. Today's program addresses the subject of the Fairfax Parkway, when, where, and why. I'm Helen Ackerman for George Mason University. One thing just about guaranteed to stir up the citizens of any area is the proposal to build a new major road through their region. Such roads can divide districts, break up neighbourhoods, and even force people out of their homes. But they can also open up areas to business and cut down on road congestion for commuters. The proposal for such a road is causing heated discussion in Fairfax County. For 10 years, the idea of a bypass road cutting through the county from north to south has been suggested, but it is only in the last couple of years that the County Board of Supervisors has started seriously considering alternative proposals for the road. Whether the road should be built or not, and if so, where, is the subject of heated debate amongst county residents. Here to discuss the issues with us today are Mr. Brent Baker, who is the Springfield Bypass Chairman of the Greenbrier Civic Association, and Mr. William Bestimpt, Division Vice President of the Fairfax County Chamber of Commerce, the President of the Middle Ridge Civic Association, and a member of the Fairfax Parkway Coalition. Mr. Baker, you're opposed to the idea of the bypass. Why?
Well, as you didn't mention, I'm also a member of the Board of Supervisors appointed Citizens Advisory Task Force on the Springfield Bypass. We got what essentially is called the Draft Environmental Impact Statement, which is a huge book, about 900 pages, with the various alternatives for the Springfield Bypass. I spent several weeks studying this document, which is supposed to prove the need for the Springfield Bypass, as well as what the various alternatives would look like. I came to the conclusion after looking at that document that, one, the case was not proven for a north-south road, except perhaps along some of the segments around Keene Mill Road and the access to 95 down in the Springfield area. Now, you've got to recall in the early history of this that the Springfield Bypass was not originally a 35-mile north-to-south road. Its original purpose and emphasis was to help bypass the traffic around Springfield itself, which is, of course, around 95, and try to get people onto 95. It had been expanded, as a lot of things do in this country. When people start drawing on it, they expand it more and more and more. So it became a 35-mile-long north-south road. The more I studied the traffic patterns, the more I was convinced and talked to people that really what we need is east-west flow in the county, not north-south flow. I found very little. Many people I talked, for example, down near Fort Belvoir, I asked them how often they tried to go up to Reston. They said, never. I went to the public hearing on the 20th of June and drove from Greenbrier up to Reston. It was in Reston. That's the first time I had driven up to Reston in many, many months. So I am convinced that the real heart of the traffic problem, of course, is rush hour, getting people to work. And I am not convinced at this point that you need 35 miles of road, a lot of which will cut across a virgin timbered land and uproot homes, unless you can really prove a case. I think one has to really prove the need before you start knocking down people's homes and cutting through forests and that sort of thing. If the need was there, I would support it. The need is only on segments, not completely 35 miles north-south.
Mr. Bestimpt, what's your reaction to that?
Well, in fact, the alignment, or one of the alignments in the Springfield Bypass, has been on the master plan for the county since 1975 in the PLUS program. And the Springfield Bypass or the Drainsville Road Extension or the Fairfax Parkway are misnomers for a road that will serve a multitude of purposes. It will relieve some of the traffic congestion in the Springfield area, which is the Springfield Bypass portion of it. It will provide an opportunity for the people in the Great Falls area and in the Reston area to get down to Route 50 and to Fair Oaks Shopping Center and to the industrial and commercial and office complex that is eventually going to develop there, so that it provides that transportation linkage. It is a mechanism for getting traffic around Fairfax City, so it's a Fairfax City bypass to some extent. It's an opportunity to relieve some of the traffic congestion that impacts not only Fairfax City but George Mason University itself on 123 and University Drive. It has the opportunity to relieve some of the traffic that Braddock Road has down near 495. And if you look back at the road history in Fairfax County, with the exception of 95 and with the exception of the Beltway, the roads and the basic structure that we have go back to Civil War times. They were the trails, and we have not had any new facilities. And with the development, both residential and commercial, that's coming along in the county, there needs to be established a firm alignment, at least at this point, so that the land can be held for that time when the road can in fact be constructed. And in fact, pieces of it will be constructed first, second, and third in a sequence. The economic development of the county, the non-residential office and employment center kinds of development in the county, are tied very closely to the mechanism that we have for moving people, goods, and services. And at this point, we do not have a facility to move from north, south, or other than the beltway, circumferentially around, and tie these radial routes together.
So you're saying that in order to interest business in coming to Fairfax County, we have to have the road first, even if the usage is not there now?
We have to have it planned. We have to have it planned and some commitment that we're going to make the effort to see that facility put in place. It's a key to the economic
development. Let me make, Bill, if I may, some comments on what Bill said. First of all, he said people in Reston want to get down to Fair Oaks Shopping Center. And I would point out that the road is built for 1995, and Reston will have a huge shopping mall. It's already programmed for the 1990s, as Bill knows. So they can do their shopping in Reston. Now, one of the interesting things is, of course, these projections that say that most of the people, he said 60% of the people will be driving intra-county. I don't believe that. I believe that's like a weather forecast. The data in the EIS was very interesting, for example. Their economic forecasts and their population forecasts are very old. They're taken from the boom in Fairfax County of the 60s and 70s. Their traffic pattern data, which they have to believe in, or you wouldn't believe in a traffic on Springfield Bypass. I had to go on a technical report, which the public did not see because it was hard to get available. And I had to go in there to find out that the traffic interviews done with people saying, how do you drive to work? How do you get there? What are your driving patterns? The database was in 1968. These interviews were done in 1968. Gasoline was 24 cents a gallon in 1968. So I hardly think that the person that paid 24 cents a gallon for gasoline is driving in the same manner today. Let me take his 60% and put it in another perspective. One of the interesting things the EIS seemed to indicate was there would be more intra-county and less driving to the D.C. core. In other words, less people in this area would be driving into the federal government area of the D.C. area, Arlington, that type of thing, the Pentagon, etc. I found out that this was very misleading because what we found out was the traffic trips dropped, the number of times they counted a car went by, but what was happening in effect was more people were going in carpools and van pools. So the number of vehicles crossing a given point was dropping going to the D.C. core, but the occupancy of the vehicles was going up. So you see, statistics are interesting. They could say there are less cars going to the D.C. core. There'll be more people working intra-county. But in effect, what we have today is 40% of the people going into the D.C. core are in carpools, van pools, this type of thing. And even the EIS, the Environmental Impact Statement, says we expect that by 1985 to be up to 60%. So people are using more, quote, mass transit alternatives going to the D.C. core. I believe there will continue to be a vast majority of people in Fairfax County working in the D.C. core. Now, let's bring up the matter of money. This is a good as point as any. One of the problems I have, and many of my associates and colleagues have, is the very expensive cost of the Springfield Bypass in a frugal period where waste, abuse, and fraud we don't want. So we must be very frugal in these days. And here we put on the plate a $200 million 35-mile highway. Now, even if you scale it down, it's going to be expensive because it's a new highway. Now, we feel, first of all, and Bill has to admit the facts of life are, with the action of Congress before the 4th of July break, what they called reconciliation, they cut the heck out of the Federal Budget Transportation Department, which is the matching funds for highways. For example, in the state of Virginia, the state has to come up with a quarter before the federal government will give them 75 cents. So out of every dollar we have in the state that highway funds come in, a quarter is state funds. Now, I have a letter from Bob Harris that, of course, you know from the House of Delegates in Northern Virginia. And he wrote this letter, and we asked him about the funding for the Springfield Bypass. And first of all, he said, presently the proposed Springfield Bypass and extension do not appear on the Virginia Highway five-year planning documents for financial support.
Secondary.
Last year, when the Virginia General Assembly was considering statewide 4% gasoline tax, which you remember failed, even then, Governor Dalton told him there would not be money for the Springfield bypass. $200 million highway. This year, there's only $268 million for all of Virginia. Of that amount, about $60 million comes up to the Culpeper or the Northern Virginia District for highways. So we got a $200 million highway here. How are we going to finance it? The funds aren't there.
Well, we know definitely that Fairfax County has traffic problems, and there is going to have to be some money spent on the roads. Do you feel that there are better ways of spending it?
This is what the no action alternative in that environmental impact statement is all about. It's not a no build. It's very interesting how the Parkway Coalition would confuse this. The no action alternative talks about improving 140 miles of roads now in the county. We figured this out, and the EIS doesn't do it right because it says it doesn't give any cost figures. We figured out it would cost $2 million per mile to improve these roads, 140 miles of present roads. If you look at the EIS and the Springfield bypass, it'll cost $5 million per mile if you divide it
up. Even under the assumption and the no action alternative, that was assuming that all the secondary roads that are on the plan are in fact improved to the level that they show on the plan.
As the EIS assumes certain things.
Even with that no action alternative, the traffic problems that are inherent in the county are terrific. They're going to strangle us. We're going to wind up being strangled on our own traffic generation unless we get some sort of facility that gives us some different alternative.
I'm afraid we're almost out of time. But could you very briefly tell me what is the route that has just been approved by the Fairfax County Board of Supervisors, and what is the next step in getting this road?
It starts in the north at Route 7 along what is referred to as Alignment A, which is the western alignment, and proceeds through Alignment A, the west end of Reston, down to and through the land that's been proffered for through Fox Mill Estates, down to Fairfax Franklin Farms. And at that point, the county chosen alignment, the staff recommended alignment,
crosses over
to Alignment B. And Alignment B moves south, crosses Route 50. A and B are together. When it gets down south of Route 50, it moves to south of Hanger Road, cuts across 66, very close to Ox Road, and goes through the site, which is the government center site on the northern end. Then it goes down along Shirley Gate Road, and then picks up with Alignment A and runs all the way down to Hoos and Pohig, till it gets down to the 95 area and where they've picked up, in essence, the Citizens Task Force recommendations that they also do a flyover and dive into the 95 interchange. That's about as
the next event will be on the 20th of August, we think, when the Virginia commissioners at the Department of Transportation in Virginia will meet and decide, after viewing theoretically all the public hearing data and everything, and make their decision on the alignment. Following that, there will be what we call a design phase. And that will probably take several months. I would say now we're into 1982. And they then have to come back to public hearings with the design that they have selected.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen, for coming to express your opinion. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public affairs program produced by George Mason University. Program coordinator, Terry Huddleston. For information about our guests or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. I'm Helen Ackerman for the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.